Welcome back to Rosie on the House, where we take your calls and answer your questions about home maintenance, home improvement, home remodeling, like Gene calling from Scottsdale, with Ed in Tucson up next and an open line after that at 1-888-767-4348. Good morning, Gene.
Hey, good morning, guys. And Rosie, don't worry about your music for the show. It's classic, just like you.
Aha! Gene.
Okay.
Thank you.
So, I have a light in my bathroom that quit working. And I want to know if it's the fixture or the switch. Or how do I diagnose it, and how do I go about doing that?
Look, you called me a classic. I'm gonna ask you a classic question. You've checked the bulb, right?
Yes, we replaced the bulb. Okay. And it still doesn't work.
Gene, is it a recessed can light?
Nope, it's just you know, above the mirrors in the bathroom.
Okay.
You know, it's a kind of a fixture. One there, they look like little flowers, and it just quit working.
And it's probably mounted up on the wall, right in the center
Correct.
Of the fixture.
Correct.
There's probably a little knob screw that you can unscrew, and then the fixture will hang down. If it's connected tightly to the wires, it'll hang down there on the wires, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Well, the first thing I would do is take the fixture off the wall, get those wires separated from each other, throw the switch on, and I just throw a little amp tester and see if you're getting power to the fixture.
Okay.
If you're not, then I go back to the receptacle, the switch itself, take the faceplate off.
Okay.
And whenever I'm dealing with electricity, I have two tools that I really rely on. One is a little buzzer tool shaped kind of like a ballpoint pen that you put in the area, and it lights up and buzzes if it senses any active current at all.
Okay.
And I kind of wave that around in there and see what I can find out. I don't generally tell people to get into receptacles unless you're familiar with them, because they're being fed with hot juice.
Right.
And the hot juice lives there until the switch is turned on. So unless you can, if your panel box is properly labeled and you can know with absolute confidence which breaker turns that off, you can break it, turn it off, pull the receptacle out of the junction box.
Mm-hmm.
You'll have two wires coming in to the box. And then, of course, two wires leading up to the fixture. And I would just test all of those with an amp tester, and see if you're getting juice to the switch itself.
Okay, very good. Okay.
Now, Gina, I don't want to hear no screaming from your house. You know that. Oh, I should have turned the power off. You know,
we'll be safe.
When I'm talking electricity, I'm talking about proceeding with extreme caution. I appreciate the phone call, Gene.
Okay, take care. Have a great weekend.
Okay, my man.
You know where else I take extreme precaution? If I have to stick my hand in the garbage disposal, I unplug it. I've never seen it turn on by itself. I've never seen anyone going to hit the switch. But, man, just the thought, I unplug it.
What was that?
I am the same way. There was a movie one time.
Charles Bronson. It was filmed here in Phoenix.
They use that as torture. They put someone's hand down there. I think of it every time I put my hand down there.
Yeah, I do too. I think of Charles Bronson every time I have to fish a ping pong ball or a marble or a toothbrush.
I make sure there's nobody around.
All right, are we going to bring Ed into the conversation next?
Let's bring Ed into the conversation, then let me get to the article that's in our newsletter here a little bit and cover some of that.
So hang on, Pauline. We'll take it a second.
And then I got to get on my soapbox.
Okay. Oh, boy.
Yeah. All right. So be ready for that, because I don't know if I'm going to get mad and start yelling and screaming or break down and crying. But I'm going to get on my soapbox. But let's take care of business first. Ed in Tucson.
How are you doing, Rosie? I enjoy your show. Try and listen to it when I can.
Thank you, Ed. Appreciate it. How can we help you today? What are you up to?
I have a cabin on Mount Lemmon here in Tucson.
Nice.
And I've had it painted with water-based paint.
Mm-hmm.
And it on the south and west sides, it keeps peeling off every couple years.
What's the siding?
And what can,
What are you painting? Is it plywood, 2-on-11? Is it?
It's plywood.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Well, you ought to be getting more than a couple of years out of it. Go ahead.
I even painted this last year with Bear's deck paint.
Uh huh.
To try and hold it on. I put in.
And Ed, are you doing the painting yourself, or are you hiring it done?
I had it both ways.
Okay. All right. Well, here's what I'm going to tell you. I would do if the paint is failing on plywood, it's probably peeling off. And you're going to need to get a pressure washer and wash everything off that's peeling. And then I would get into the PPG store in Tucson, and I'd get myself a good wood primer. I'd prime it all first, and then I would apply a 100% acrylic exterior PPG-grade paint. And you should be able to get, even on the south and the west face on plywood, you ought to be able to get a good 5 to 6 years out of a paint job done right. A lot of times on that plywood, you're going to need to go around the windows and the doors and every place the plywood meets a dissimilar material, like maybe you have little 1x2 board and battens put over the top of the plywood. Maybe you've got 1x4s. Creating the corners, the outside corners. You need to caulk all that after it's primed and before it's painted and stop any moisture penetration from around the edges. I have a good friend, one of our Rosie Certified partners, Mr. James Cruz. He calls himself New Frontier Painting. He's been Rosie Certified for about 10 years. We could always get James up to the house on Mount Lemmon and have him take a look at it, make sure there's no underlying problems. But appreciate the call. Absolutely beautiful area. The one problem is the fire that burned through there. Those cabins are now 100% exposed to the sun. There's very little shade trees left up there in many of the locations. So, Ed, sounds like a beautiful place, man. May just have to get that. That's one thing that's on my bucket list, buddy, that we have to do.
I was just looking up ski Tucson Mountains.
I've never skied Mount Lemmon, so if they get open this year and we get some snow, I got to run down there.
Actually looking it up right now to see if they've opened.
We'll save Ed's phone number, and if I get up the mountain to do a run or two at Mount Lemmon, then I'll stop and take a look at Ed's house. Let's get to the newsletter. Did you have something else you wanted to add to that, bud?
No, I'm just looking up the mountain.
You're gonna come with me if we go?
Oh man. We've said that for like 4 or 5 years. At least. We're gonna ski Mount Lemmon.
It's the only ski resort in Arizona. Let's call it a ski hill. I'm not sure it meets the.
Well, Mount Lemmon's a pretty big mountain.
You want to ski a hill, come to South Dakota. You can walk up the hill and then ski down. It takes about 4 seconds.
Got pictures from my baby daughter yesterday, who is going to college at Colorado Christian in Lakewood, Colorado. And, of course, with the storm blowing in, she opted to go to Copper Basin in Breckenridge and ski all day yesterday.
Oh, poor Carol.
And sent me like 3 or 4 videos of how much fun she was having.
Nice.
Listen, Rosie on the House newsletter, it hit your mailbox if you're a subscriber. You go to rosieonthehouse.com and subscribe. It's free. It comes every Thursday. It's a brand new format. We've gotten a lot of positive feedback on it. And in this week's topic is, are there nightmares hidden in that dream house? What you need to really look at before you purchase a home. We tell everybody, it's location, location, location. Most people have decided whether they're going to make an offer on a house within about 10 seconds of pulling up at the curb. You've driven through the neighborhood. You know the proximity of the shopping. You know the proximity of, where your church is and where the schools are and your favorite grocery store. And you take a look at the house, and you decide generally right there as you're walking up the house whether or not you're probably going to make an offer. After an offer, what's the first thing that happens?
Home inspection.
All right. And some of those home inspections can get pretty voluminous. And there are things you need to be concerned about. We always want to take a look at the roof. We always want to take a look at the electrical work. And I always tell people when they're home shopping for a resale home, not a new home, but a resale home, if you can buy it in as close to original condition as possible, that way you're assured that the homeowner didn't attach any additions or make any modifications that possibly could have not been up to code or even permitted. Romy, I was at a house, it was Thursday, that was built in 1967, right off of Encanto Golf Course. His backyard backed up to the golf course. Built in 1967, slump block. All the furniture was virtually built in place.
That's interesting.
The house had new flooring put in the kitchen and a new electric panel put on the outside. Other than that, it was pristine, original condition.
I like that.
Really, really a cool house. And boy, when I see one like that, then I get carried away. I wasted like another hour and a half after I left him driving through all those historic districts and in around Earl, where there's a house in there that I'm familiar with, wanted to see how it was doing. But there's just some beautiful product right there in that particular area. But when you're house shopping and you get that home inspection report, take a look at it. And you want them to take a look particularly at the roof, the respiratory system of the house, which is the air conditioning and the ductwork, the nervous system of the house, the central system of the house, that's the electrical system. Let's make sure all those connections are done. The GFIs are where they're supposed to be. You don't have any switches that you can't identify. Find out where they all go. And we'll talk a little bit more about what in a home inspection report would kill the deal for me. But let's take a couple more calls because we've loaded all the way back up again. Let's go to Pauline and Gilbert.
Good morning.
Good morning, Miss Pauline. What are you up to today?
I am just working, but I have a few questions. We live in about a 1960s home, pretty much original, other than your cosmetic, decorations and things like that. What we're thinking of is we have a single car garage.
Okay.
And I don't even know if this is possible, is we were thinking of knocking down a portion of that wall to slightly extend the dining area and adding an Arcadia door onto the exterior wall, giving us a little bit more living space from the kitchen to the dining. And I don't know if you start, what type of contractor to get to see if that is even possible and if some work like that needs to be permitted.
It will need to be permitted. The amount of work you just described to me is going to require probably moving some electric, and it's going to be a minor permit. But there's several ways to get started on that. I'm going to need to go on a little break. I'm going to ask for you to be patient. Hang on. Come back and answer that question in full right after this.